Welcome to Scribe Session. Here, Inquirer Bengals beat writers Joe Reedy and Paul Daner Jr. escort you inside the walls of Paul Brown Stadium to hear the news, analysis, and observations unfolding within the team from those documenting it daily, all with the sidecar of sarcasm you've come to expect. Let's go.
Let's get ready to rumble!
He'll gun it deep downfield for A.J. Green. A.J.'s got it! Touchdown! Bengals! Dalton in the shotgun. Two receivers left, two to the right. Andy straight back to throw. Fires for Gresham in the end zone! Touchdown! Bengals! And Reedy burst up the middle of the field. Look out! Reedy's off to the races.
All right, welcome to the latest edition of Scribe Session. I am Paul Daner Jr. here with Joe Reedy. Joe, how are you?
It's week five, Paul, where, you know, last preseason game, the short rest between Dallas and Indy, you kind of start feeling it.
Yeah, I think it is wearing on us. But we come to you live now from the news conference room. We're on top of the podium. Right now, we're kind of getting the view that Marvin sees every day. I understand. I can almost feel the disdain for the middle seat that you normally sit in.
Yeah, and I mean, when we say in our intro, which you so eloquently put in your intro, deep inside Paul Brown Stadium, we are deep inside Paul Brown Stadium.
Yes, we are. This is where it all goes down. But
the anger, the disappointment, the looks of the looks of disdain from coaches and media, and multiple disdain looks at each other, and
but we're here right now, and we're reliving what occurred on Saturday, which was the first L of the preseason for the Bengals, but which, as we have said many times here, means absolutely nothing.
It's practice we're talking about,
but it's never practice for a scribe on the road.
No, it isn't.
You have to hit midseason form the second you hit the road. So you made the trip to Dallas. I should inform, I did not make. This is the sole trip that I could not do this year. I had a wedding and some home Reds games we had to get some work taken care of at. So I wasn't able to go and fully partake in everything that Dallas had to offer. But I'm sure that you come back and you're going to give me a great review of what the Metropolis had for you.
Which, Paul, before we do that, you know what would be fitting to drop in right about now?
What's that?
A little Chrissy Hyde and the Pretenders, middle of the road.
Well, ask and you shall receive.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Chrissy Hyde, Akron, Ohio, bro.
Wow, how about that? Well,
which if Zach Jackson was here, he would go, Akron, Ohio, bro. That's where I'm from.
Is that his line?
You weren't there for story time with Uncle Zach.
No, I missed Zach's story time. But now, we may not see a whole lot of Zach this year either, because now we got Kevin Goheen, Go-Go on the Fox Sports Ohio beat down here. Normally, we would always get to see Zach making the long trip down from Cleveland, from where he was stationed to come do Bengals gigs.
It's really not that long.
No, probably not. Not at the rate, the speed that he was probably driving. He'd always be looking a little rough from the lack of sleep, from having to get up so early to drive down. So we won't get all our great story time anymore, but
he might be here for Pittsburgh, so
we can only hope. Yes. Well, maybe we can get him on here and do some story time with Uncle Zach.
Yeah, or, you know, him and Dre Knott have the A to Z podcast on Fox Sports Ohio, which I recommend highly. If we could do a, you know how they have the Avengers movies and all that now? If it could just be a super podcast special or what you would call it.
I don't know. I think the interwebs might explode if we went all four of us on that, though.
That's true. You can't cross the streams.
No, you no. Okay. We gotta. I like the idea of us doing the King of the Road restaurant rankings as we go through this year. So far, only one road trip in the books was the Atlanta trip, and Rays in the City was fantastic. We loved it. I highly recommend it. That was down in the middle of downtown Atlanta. Dallas, where did you end up? Where did you end up going?
Went down to Fort Worth, actually, Paul.
Yeah.
I was going to go to Tim Love, chef that I've heard a lot about. If you would talk about first-round draft picks, Tim Love, a definite solid first-round draft pick, where I was going to go to his flagship restaurant, Lonesome Dove, which has a wonderful Wagyu tomahawk ribeye.
Wow.
You've got to see these things. As far as steak porn, I think it could be top as far as lusciousness.
Wow.
And Lonesome Dove had a fire last Monday.
Oh, no, right before you came down there?
Yes.
Oh.
I mean, when it comes to road restaurants this year, we're going to go to Rathburn's in Atlanta. They had a fire a month before.
Boy, beware. Beware, Chicago.
Ditka's,
find a staff.
Ditka's no fires. No fires, Ditka.
They need to just have a firefighter on call there because we are coming and you're bound to burn down in the next month.
Yeah, Ditka's, we're coming, please. No catastrophes.
So on the rankings, we've got Rays up there. Where does where you ended up going rank?
I went to the Woodshed Smokehouse,
okay,
which is a Tim Love restaurant. Got the half rack of pork ribs and a little bit of ham that they put on the smoker.
Ooh, a little ham?
Yeah. They also have a good drink called Summer in a Cup, which is lemonade, mint, and a coconut rum.
Lovely.
Which is tasty. And they do their own mint juleps, too, which you'll find a place in Texas that does authentic mint juleps.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to make sense. I just assume it's just sarsaparilla and cowboys. I mean, you know, giant steaks. But yours was a steak. Although you ordered the half and they brought the full in true Texas style.
Yes.
Really.
A good char on the ribs, good pork ribs. They serve beef ribs, too, but beef ribs, especially the ones that I found in Kansas City, a little bit of fat content,
yeah.
So I go with the pork ribs.
Bottom line, does it beat Rays?
It does not beat Rays.
Ooh.
The atmosphere and entertainment, because they had a good country singer performing, and it's outdoors and stuff, and even though Texas was an inferno, still at 10, 11 o'clock at night. Atmosphere, I say it beats Rays, but since we're talking strict food.
We're not, you know what? I don't want us to, let's talk about these rankings. I don't want us to just pigeonhole it into strictly the food. I think you go overall grade. Go ahead and throw atmosphere and food as a combo in there. It's overall dining experience, you know? Would that put it over Rays?
No, because,
no.
You know, there wasn't a camaraderie there, Paul.
Yeah,
I went alone and.
Oh.
Much like George Thorogood, I drank alone.
You drank alone.
Last week. With nobody else.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da. You know that I drink. Okay.
That's one of my favorites, actually.
It is. It is, rather. But, I mean, for a good lunch or stuff, I think it gets it. But Rays in the City with the sushi,
still
the
wins.
Lobster risotto, it's still Rays is a top, but we got eight more restaurants to go on the tour.
Eight more to go. Current rankings, number one, Rays in the City. Number two is our fine Texas establishment.
But if we were to include home restaurants, too, I mean, Buena Braza, I think, where we...
Yeah, we had the big Buena Braza experience here for all the scribes. Is our big goodbye to our strong media relations intern, Pete Schramm, who is moving on, hopefully, to bigger and better things.
We miss you, Pete.
We do, and... Buena Braza, the Brazilian steakhouse downtown of Fountain Square, did what it does and, you know, worked off the meat sweats afterwards.
I did a good hour, 15 minutes of cardio once I got to Dallas on Friday.
There's only one choice. I mean, it's just – I woke up the next day feeling like I should not have to eat for another 24 hours. But sure enough, there I was the next day, hungry again. So it's really a spiral.
But you know, Paul, you know Jeff Ruby. You know, if you want to invite us to dinner and stuff to get to the top of the rankings, you know, we're available.
Absolutely. We would do a live podcast from there if that was something that would be put out. I mean,
come on, Jeff. Make it happen.
We got no problem going there. We'll show up at the precinct anytime you want, and we'll do a little live podcast, and feel free to put you into our rankings.
Plus, Scribe Session could get sponsored here in the near future.
We don't know. Keep an eye out for that. It's very possible. So I want to move on in Scribe Session with first with a moment of silence. We got to take a little moment of silence for Richard Quinn and the Richard Quinn era that came to an end on Sunday.
Do we have a 21-gun salute?
No. Well, no, we'd only be one gun for his one career reception.
Didn't that get called back?
No, well, with the Bengals. Well, he didn't have any with the Bengals in regular season playoff. He had a couple receptions in the first preseason game.
Okay.
Richard Quinn, nothing wrong, nothing against the guy.
No.
But we've just wondered for a year plus now how he's still on the roster. It's just it's been one of the most amazing Teflon lifespans that we've ever seen.
And the thing is, Richard Quinn will still count against the salary cap this year because he had a $10,000 workout bonus.
Cashed in. Hey, why not? So there was the first round of cuts. There's going to be some cuts on Tuesday, tomorrow as well. Richard Quinn, Quinn Sharp, Jeremy Boyd, who was the guy they brought in when some of the receivers started going down, cornerback Terrence Brown, linebacker Jordan Campbell, defensive tackle Von Miatoga.
Miatoga? Yeah.
Which
I think Campbell – out of all that might have been the most shocking because when they signed undrafted guys, Campbell, I think, was one of the two names that stuck out, him and Jason DeMonch. Mm-hmm. But I know there were some people going, well, could they sign him to the practice squad? If you get cut and it cut down to 75, you ain't
no
coming
way.
Back on a practice squad.
No, not at all. They don't think very highly of you.
Paul doing the Mutombo finger no wag right now, as I mentioned.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. But so we see the first kind of quick round of cuts. We will have more on Tuesday, and then the cut to 53 will happen on Saturday. So keep your eye on the Twitters, as we'll be keeping you updated all day as those start to trickle in. But before we get too far into roster, let's talk a little bit about the Dallas game, or I guess as amongst the Bengals fans, as it has been now known as Dre Day.
Oh,
if you want to insert a little Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg in the background. Dre Kirkpatrick plays pretty much the entire game. He was in with the ones a good amount and then ran with the twos and everybody else that was in the rest of the game, and it just did not go well. Pro Football Focus, our fine people at Pro Football Focus, we like so
our
much.
Our friends at.
Absolutely. And went ahead and they've been rating everybody in every game as they do. And in the preseason, they gave Dre a -5.9 just for the Dallas game alone. He's at -6.5 for the preseason. But obviously the majority of that coming from this Dallas game. Thrown at 12 times. 9 receptions on those 12, and he had 3 missed tackles in coverage. The two PIs gave up the touchdown to Dez Bryant, where he was in position and didn't make the play. Whew. Just a lot to learn from there.
A lot would be kind.
Yeah.
And, you know, you and I have fun looking at my Twitter timeline, which it was an utter joy Saturday night and Sunday. But people for the past month, Dre's got to start. Dre's got to start. And I've been for a month. No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
Terrence Newman's been doing a solid job. Well, Newman's old. He's old, but he's doing a solid job.
Yeah, it matter?
Yeah, which.
If we know anybody who won't care about anything other than production, it's Mike Zimmer.
That's true. And, you know, you got Adam Jones who can be the third corner. Right now, Brandon G might be the fourth corner with. If he can stay healthy,
right.
knock on table. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, depending how they go on DBs, right now I'd have Chris Lewis-Harris as number 6, and I'm keeping only 4 safeties. Sorry, Taylor Mays. But he's got to learn. He's got to develop. He played more snaps on Saturday than he did in the course of an entire season all of last year. He's developing. And I think I've brought it up a couple times, too. I know I've certainly brought it up to you. Name me one Nick Saban first-round draft choice in the past 4 years since Alabama's begun a hell of a run in college football that's coming in contribute. Okay, Julio Jones, that. But you look at the number of first-round draft picks and guys who have been solid contributors, and it took Gerald McCoy a couple years, too.
Yeah.
Who have come in their first couple years and just been absolute studs. It doesn't exist.
Yeah. Why is that? Is that because they become system players down there?
I think it's truthfully because the rules as related to pro practice and college practice is that Nick just puts them through the grinder.
Yeah.
That by the time they get to the league, they're just bone tired.
Yeah.
And you consider it a pre-draft process and everything too. I just think these guys kind of need time to catch their breath and stuff. And, you know, I remember talking to a couple of people last year who thought Dre might be better in the NFL as a safety than a corner.
Hmm. And maybe he ends up going that way if there's more days like Saturday. But I talked with Mike Zimmer today, and he came out a bit in defense of Dre while also admitting the obvious of, hey, this wasn't good, but sometimes it can be good to learn from days like this. Here's some of the conversation with Mike Zimmer that occurred this afternoon.
Obviously, a lot of snaps for Devin Snell. How important is it for guys like him and Dre, those redshirt guys we talked about, to have good. That full game experience like they had?
Yeah, it's good. We need to you know, one of the things with Still is we're trying to work on his consistency, and you know he does some really good things at times, and we just got to get him more consistent. And it, you know, everybody's all nervous about Kirkpatrick. You know, he got beat up pretty good by Dez Bryant, but and even a couple of the other guys. But you know, if it's a real game, we're doing things differently. So he'll be fine. I want him to go out there and compete against guys, and you know, and this is how you learn. This, you know, it's you don't learn nothing by going out and shutting the guy down every time.
Yeah. You've seen a lot of NFL corners. I'm sure they didn't. You know, they struggle like Kirkpatrick. Some pretty good ones. I imagine. You've seen some good ones.
So. Terrence Newman, his rookie year, had a couple rough days, but you know that happens in the NFL. They're playing against good guys, and that's why and especially in these preseason games, this is why you do it. You line up guys, and you just let them play and find out, hey, I'm against somebody tonight. So, you know, find out what he does. But, it's good.
Rough days can be good for guys, like you're saying. I mean, that can be a good thing that you can't learn.
Yeah, well, the thing I understand then is, shoot, I better play with some technique, or, you know, I'm going to get hammered.
Do you think Kirkpatrick kind of figured that out?
No, because he's been working his technique. But he lost a little bit of confidence, you know, on the pass interference. But, you know, I've been talking to him about what he did a lot during camp. You know, I say, hey, you can't put that hand on him like right there, and you're going to get called. And so the first one, that's what he did. And the second pass interference, you know, I never seen him do this, but he put his hand, he tried to press the guy way out here, and he got him on the back, you know, is when he dropped the interception, and, you know, so just bad technique on both of them.
It's one of those things, though, where it's never quite as bad as it seems when you look at it, or like the same way it's not as good as it seems when you really look at the tape.
We did some really good things on defense, and we had some, you know, third downs weren't good, but there were some real good things that we did. So,
did you say anything that Dre did that you can build on, you know, that you can stay, you can point?
Well, not much in that game.
Yeah. But he hasn't played that bad in the other two.
He's played good, so he'll be fine. He's going to have to tackle better than what he did. He missed some tackles, and he'll be fine.
I mean, you're coming to his defense. You're defending him, so clearly you think he's good. He can play.
Yeah, I'm not worried about him at all. I'm not worried about him at all.
And you know, Zim makes the point. This was he had been good to this point. The first two preseason games, people were happy with the way he was playing. He was playing pretty well. In camp, he had been playing pretty well. But it's a whole different ball game when you get exposed. It's not, you know, it was against Dez Bryant for the majority of the time. There were other guys that did it to him. But, I mean, Dez Bryant has victimized many. In fact, he victimized about every corner on that one drive where he caught all those balls. It was against 27. It was 29, Leon Hall. It was 23, Terrence Newman. Just he was victimizing everybody. I mean, this was a guy who was a great receiver. It happens, and it's one of those things where guys are going to have rough days early in their career. And to be honest, he's Dre will probably learn more from this than he has any other experience he has in the NFL to date. This is it. This is how you have to play at a certain level if you want to be a part of this team and you don't want to get embarrassed out there.
Yeah, and I mean, you go against a passing attack like Dallas, it's a good test. You know, Dez Bryant, Miles Austin, you know, Mama said there'd be days like this. Mm-hmm. And Dre's got to learn from it. And he's really still in his first year. I mean,
that was it. Like you said, when you take more snaps in one game than you did an entire year, that's his first time experiencing the NFL. Really is. It's his welcome to the NFL moment.
Yeah, and I mean, part of it is he's a first-round draft pick and people expect him to get right off the bus and contribute immediately. It's, you know, some of this stuff, it takes time. And I mean, for those who were on Twitter Saturday, Sunday, and Monday going, can we trade him? Can we cut him? Child, please.
Yeah.
Come on. Seriously, people. Yeah. It's like, get some friggin' perspective here.
Right, exactly. It's a bad game. It didn't look great, but it doesn't mean he's nothing at all.
Yeah, I mean.
Those things. And the thing is, too, it snowballs on a guy, especially out on that island. And like Zim was saying, a lot of times you see it's easy for the common fan to look at it and say, oh, this, that, or the other. It was because it's so obvious out there on that island when a guy gets beat. Well, a lot of times it can be help coming from other areas or coverage things or whatever. And they wouldn't be doing the same things over and over again if it was a regular season game. There would be other schemes and coverages being put in there where it wouldn't happen like that to Dre. But yes, he has to be better, but let's not overreact. A lot of this was situational too.
Yeah, and I think too that, I mean, the pass rush in the preseason, and who knows how much pass rush they're really doing. I thought that first play coming out and blitzing and the linebackers getting a sack and Penn and Romo at the one was great, but we haven't seen enough. We haven't seen that in the preseason. Carlos Dunlap has been out throughout the preseason, which could be an entire scribe session topic of itself.
Right.
Michael Johnson didn't play a game. Robert Gathers missed this game. Geno Atkins is still Geno Atkins and has had a good preseason. But
yeah. No, there hasn't been the same pass rush.
Harrison missed this game. I mean, it's all about getting to September 8th at Chicago.
Yeah, and I don't think there's really a lot of worry about this defense right now. But certainly, I know Zimmer would like to see a lot more coming from the pass rush. Joe, other observations from the Dallas game. What were some other few things that you took away?
Wasn't happy with the run game, especially first half.
Mm-hmm.
Thought that third and short, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, good 6-yard gain, where John Connor was the fullback on the first snap, which to me speaks plenty with mm-hmm. the first unit. I mean, whether you're sounding the alarm bell for Orson Charles to answer that call or whether you're getting on the phone with Jeff Ireland saying, let's talk, which I don't know if they are, but mm-hmm. if you want to throw trade topics and targets out there, should certainly be one of them.
Yeah.
Run game's got to be better. And when this run game struggles, the entire offense struggles. Third down, first unit, average about 7 to 8 yards. You can't have that. Mm-hmm. Turnovers, -4 in the preseason right now, which really isn't good at all. They've got to correct that stuff. Andy Dalton, I think I wrote about in the walkthrough today, 0-5. In the preseason, passes in the air 15 yards or more.
Mm-hmm.
Not exactly inspiring, but receivers getting good yards after the catch. Thought that the backup, Josh Johnson, came in, played well, especially on the one long drive. Coey Hamilton's roller coaster continues, and Jerry World is huge.
Yeah. You mentioned Josh Johnson coming in. We couldn't mention John Skelton coming in.
I just think that was because of the limit of snaps. I think,
but Marvin says today at his press conference, "Hey, that was my plan the whole time was to not see John Skelton." Does that
head coaches lie?
Yeah, that's possible. Yeah,
I just said it's if you would. I think if they would have had one more series or more snaps, Skelton might have gotten in for the last last two fourth quarter or the last one.
You don't think it was his way of saying, listen, I've got to have Josh Johnson ready to go as my backup, and maybe they've already made this decision, or are they saying, hey, we're going to play Skelton a ton in the Indianapolis game, and let's just let it be that?
Well, I mean, first drive for Skelton, you had to fumble, not a lot of plays. Second drive, you got a good series from him, where you basically figured after Dallas ran the clock down to under a minute, putting John Skelton in for that is that ain't fair to the guy. And it's like, okay, Josh, let's see if down six you can lead him. And I mean, great kick return by Sanzenbacher, good first pass to get it into Dallas territory, and then I don't know who blew pass protection because Johnson got hit as he threw the ball, and that was an interception and game over, and thank goodness no overtime or anything.
Nothing worse in all of sports than preseason overtime.
Maybe that's why Rex jumped the shark on Saturday night, was because that game went overtime. Who knows? But you know, I still think that Johnson has the edge in the backup. Skelton's basically got to go lights out, and Josh Johnson has to pee on the carpet in order for Skelton to.
I feel like we've heard enough and seen enough at this point where I think they've made their mind up almost. You know, yeah. I mean, they like the idea. I mean, he's even running the read option play out there where you see, oh, okay, practicing the read option in the preseason, because that's the type of thing that they're going to ask him to come in and maybe do occasionally in the regular season. Or if he was starting a game, that's the type of thing they would have him go out there and run as part of their offense.
And let's all remember that, well, two important things. Number one, they signed him in Josh Johnson in free agency for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, John Skelton was a waiver claim, fortunate and did. And I forget, who was the writer as far as off-season free agent targets who had Josh Johnson on their list?
Well, I'm assuming since you're discussing it that it probably was you. Oh, a little pat on the back, yeah, action.
Pat myself on the head for that.
Yeah. It seems like that is pretty much wrapped itself up. The other observation I had, you know, I know you talk about not liking the running game, and that's fair. I was impressed with Gio again. I thought particularly
the first drive of the third quarter.
Boy, he just showed a burst, and the way, you know, that type of cut in the open field that left the safety on the ground, that is the type of runner that this team has been lacking, that can just shake a guy in the open field, where, you know, you had Cedric, you have Ben Jarvis, who are more grinders. They would see that guy and try and run him over. Gio has the speed and the cutting ability to just take that thing to the house. But, I mean, you really are starting to see what Gio will bring to this offense.
Which for two series, running game was good.
Mm-hmm.
The third and short, and then that first drive of the second half, which Gio's yards per carry go up. But first half, you're only averaging a yard or yard and a half per carry. And Gio was in on some of those, too. That's not good. That's definitely not what you want to get into. But I think it was a combination, too, that run blocking's got to be better.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Let's talk a little roster thoughts. We're not going to do the full rosterology game, although we love the music. Let's just play the music just because.
Okay.
Even though we're not playing rosterology, we'll play the music for you.
Love that song.
Oh, you got it. Love that song. Just fantastic.
I got to figure out a way during the regular season to bring it back.
Well, what? I mean, we don't need a – I mean, we can pick up whatever reason we want to.
That's true.
Just that we want to play the music, so we're going to play the music. I think that's the right way to go. So since we've played the music a little bit, let's talk a little bit about a few of the matchups that we need. Can anything be decided Thursday is, I guess, the real question, because – you're going to have all these backup guys, back end of the roster guys, fighting for position. How much will be decided, and how much is this just, well, we've got to play a fourth game, so we'll play a fourth game?
I think the biggest thing that gets decided, Paul, is if a guy works his way onto the practice squad or not.
Yeah.
The only time where I think I've really seen a guy in the last preseason game vault his way onto 53 was maybe 2009 with D.D. Dorsey.
Yeah.
And I think Didi made the late bid to get on. And then because you had the roster exemption with Andre Smith,
mm-hmm.
he was on it for 1 week and then got cut. Yeah. But he guys guaranteed money for the year, so
yeah, it's true.
More power to Didi for that one. I just think maybe the last DB spot, because right now I got Chris Lewis Harris over Taylor Mays at 10 defensive backs, and it's mm-hmm. a matter of 6 corners, 4 safeties,
or five and five,
and
we've talked about this before, and it's come up as part of the special teams discussion. Is Jeremy Miles safe?
Yes.
Because here's the thing. We have not seen him play hardly any safety. They've shown more of playing the Mays-Williams combo back there as backups, and we've hardly seen any. And is Miles, as a core special teamer, I mean, he would be slotted in as Reggie Nelson's backup. I mean, in that situation, wouldn't he have to be playing more of that, you would think, in the preseason? Or I wonder if they feel like his special team spot becomes expendable, if that's really what they're coming down to, keeping or getting rid of Taylor Mays.
Yes, but I think we've seen the video footage of Taylor Mays that's more damning than anything.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't look back at all on the Miles Austin touchdown.
Yeah.
Took out 2 of his own men on the litany of missed tackles on the TD run.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of those that if you go through waivers and stuff and you find a better guy, or there's somebody on the street as a force safety, then maybe Jeremy's spot becomes perilous and stuff. And I think out of that core, 3 special teams guys, Pierman, Miles, and Vinny Ray, if one of them goes, I'd probably say
it would be Miles.
It would be Miles. But Miles had a good block on the Brandon Tate punt return where you saw, I think Miles Pierman, Heron got a good.
And Miles
block.
Has been great as a on punt coverage and as a gunner, and really he's done a lot of good things for them in coverage. We keep talking about Taylor Mays. Because we look at these storylines so much, he's been such an interesting look. And Hard Knocks just keeps going to the well on the Taylor Mays storyline. And thankfully, we will not have any more references to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle backpacks or outfits or anything.
Oh, I hope so.
But we will bring you a long conversation you had last week with Taylor Mays about where he was pretty introspective about the reality of his situation. Here's Joe, and it was a part of a bigger interview with Taylor Mays.
Sorry, Mike. You get the point in the defense now where it's more natural instead of thinking. It's almost more.
Yeah, I felt like that, like looking back from last year, I thought I was ready to play. And you kind of coming back and then looking at it from my standpoint this year, you just feel different. You feel different the older you get. So I kind of understand how when you get experience, you feel better, you feel more comfortable. And that's kind of where I'm at. And then, to do that, and then there's so much unknown, it's kind of a tough thing. But as long as I'm getting better as a safety, I feel like at some point that has to come out, so. That's kind of where I'm at, and I really kind of just go on a day-to-day basis because I can't look too far ahead, because if you look too far ahead, you kind of can freak yourself out or, look about, well, what would happen if this happened, and it's not really the right way to live. Not for me.
Do you find yourself looking behind now? Because just looking kind of at the episodes and stuff, there's that one bad play, and it seems to a little bit of a fixation.
Like, I don't know if it's like, I'm never going to play flawless. I mean, I don't know anybody that does. But as long as you don't, I guess, make the same mistake twice, and as long as I'm content with how I'm playing, that's kind of really the only thing that I can, rest my head on. So you try to do everything right, and, we have Zim's tough. He's a tough coach. So you try to do everything, then you try not to think at the same time. So it's kind of a battle, back and forth, to kind of earn his
comfort, trust.
Yeah, almost. To earn that level of, okay, you're good, you know. So that's kind of where I'm at, you know, and I feel like it's almost in limbo. But either way, I just continue to go out there and, you know, practice like I have everything to prove every day.
Any added pressure because it is the last year of your deal?
It's more added pressure because I want to have something to show for it. That's really where the added pressure is. I want to have more to show for it than I do right now. So, I know I'll be all right either way.
Right.
You know, because I know that, I'm going to work hard to do whatever happens, I'm going to work hard at it. But when you look at the big scheme shit, it's like, that's where it kind of, you're like, oh, but, I just take it day to day and then let those days build up.
What's the greatest pressure, last year of the deal or competition on this roster?
Oh, competition on the roster. Competition and safety. Because that's the now. That's what's going on right now. And whenever you take care of things on a day-to-day basis, that seems to take care of things over the long run. So that's how I see it.
You and Lauren were featured pretty heavily. I mean, was it one of those you guys met throughout high school and just kept in contact and stuff, and then when you went back this offseason?
Yeah. It was, this last offseason. So I've known her for, I guess, maybe eight years, something like that. So it's just kind of funny how things come back around. I was saying to those guys, I didn't, like, when Hard Knocks asked to come and film, you know, you don't see it kind of being presented on TV how it's presented. But I would never deny her, you know, or, like, it kind of just is what it is, and it's part of my life. She's part of my life. And, but really, I want to be a football player first.
Right.
You know, and that's the most important thing. So that's the only part that, you know, can make you feel uncomfortable.
You think, though, there was a good mix last night showing the off-field and the on-field?
Yeah, I mean,
because it seemed 50-50.
It's definitely, I think it's an awesome show. You know, I think they do a really good job of showing a lot of, you know, intimate parts about football and football players and their lives. But it's always different when it's about you.
Right.
You know, but I loved it. You know, I thought it was a good thing. It just is, you kind of get more critical when it's about yourself.
Even the Roundtree impression?
Yeah, I don't care about that, though, because that's like our team. Guys are, you know.
That's something at 98% you wouldn't see unless it was on
the show. You would never see unless it was on the show. And,
plus, you weren't the only one targeted on there.
Oh, no. Everybody got it. So it's funny, and I think guys, you know, I get along with everybody on the team, you know. And, so that's why I think he can make those jokes and get away with it.
What was the biggest thing you took away from that?
That he's a guy who realizes the writing is on the wall. He's hoping he's done enough to make the 53, but doesn't know. And I think that you just wonder when is it going to click. I mean, I think I've said it a lot. If athleticism was the only thing to make you successful in this league, Usain Bolt would be playing right now.
Right.
And that's not the case. You have to have the brains and you got to have the football aptitude. And right now, you know, I don't know whether he has it or not.
Yeah. That's going to be the most interesting decision of Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we all agree that what happens with the DBs, with Taylor Mays in particular, will be the first thing that I look for when those cuts come down.
Number 1A I'll be looking at is, does Sean Porter go on IR?
Yeah.
If he does, Jason DeMonge is on the 53. If it doesn't, then it gets extremely interesting.
Because then they have to hope that he clears waivers to get on the practice squad.
Which I don't think he will.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, and I've seen a number of tweets about that, about the fact that because the Bengals roster is so deep, they've had so many scouts at these games because people know it.
Yeah.
And they're finding the guys that they like. And, you know, there are no secrets. Right. It's very difficult to sneak anybody onto a
film
practice
don't
squad.
Lie.
Yeah, it really is true. Because the Bengals have been so deep, everyone has had their eyes on this team, knowing that good players are going to get released, and they're going to have a very hard time getting a lot of those players they want on the practice squad. They're going to end up on 53-man rosters across the league, and so that will make those choices very, very interesting. Saw Andrew Hawkins today. No cast, no Scooter. We don't know where he's early in his rehab process, but maybe he doesn't get the IR with designation to return. He'll at the very least be a part of the roster on Saturday, because they have to wait till Tuesday to make that move. So they have to try and sneak somebody there as well if they are going to do the designation to return. So we don't know a timeline on that at all. It seems to be a pretty well-kept
season. I think if it's more than two or three games, you got an IR with designation to return. You just
you lose too much there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's risky.
I'd agree with you. And yeah, you're exactly right. And then you can hold on to a guy longer into the season and then see if, as other injuries occur, who you need to drop or get rid of, and you could have other ways to bring somebody back.
But the other amazing thing, too, is the one person who I get a ton of emails about, will he make it or not? One Rex Burkhead.
Rex Burkhead, many, many fans.
I think he will be on the 53. I think he will get it over Heron. But, part of that is you go on potential rather than the now. And, like Dan Heron, he's a home guy just like I am, Youngstown Warren area.
Sure.
We all got to stick together.
Except this time.
I think that if he isn't claimed on waivers, he makes it back on here on the practice squad, because he'd be one of the first one or two guys that, if there was an injury, you're moving up.
I feel like with the way he contributed last year on special teams, blocking punts, that could be the difference of whether he ends up, whether he makes it or not, whether he wins that gig. And he's that both of them have run well in the preseason. So that'll be another interesting decision. Of course, the one everybody's been tracking, which is this fullback tight end thing, and you referenced possible trade bait earlier, other things like that. I think the fact that you saw 7 total snaps with a fullback on the field tells a lot of the story.
Yeah.
This team
clear, and John Connor had 5 of them.
Right. But this team seems to be trending away from using the fullback hardly at all, with these 3 tight end sets and the 2 tight end sets. And if that's the case, it's Orson's job at that point, isn't it? I mean, if you're not hardly using the fullback and you're using 2 and 3 tight end sets, what value do you get on game day from having a fullback if it's 3 or 4 plays?
This is a Terminator we're talking
about. I understand he's a Terminator.
Which he's good on special teams. That's if this was Jeremy Johnson, where all he's going to do is be a fullback and can't do anything on special teams, then you would give it to a guy like Orson Charles. But when you're talking, the job number one of a fullback is to block. And it's a work in progress that is rocky at best. Your third tight end, Alex Smith, which, let's face it, job of the third tight end is to block.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Smith can block. Alex Smith has also played H-back.
Yeah.
And knows this offense from his days in Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
He's well versed in a West Coast system. I see this different than Burkhead in that Burkhead, there's a lot of potential, the Brian Leonard role, all of that. Orson Charles, you've got Jermaine Gresham. You've got a tight end that you drafted in the first round. You've got a guy well-versed in the West Coast offense. It's, you know, I don't know where he fits. That's the problem.
I mean, the thing is, With one injury to any of those 3 guys, you can't run 3 tight end sets anymore without Orson Charles in there as a fullback.
Yeah, because we don't have Dennis Rowland making it.
Right. So now that puts you in an interesting situation. They seem to really like those three tight end sets we've seen here in the preseason, and obviously the significant number of two tight end sets that you're expected, one injury, and suddenly you're putting that in jeopardy.
There's always Richard Quinn that can come back.
He could always. Maybe we'll have to take back our entire moment of silence if Richard Quinn comes back. So that will be the other interesting thing to keep a look at. Obviously, all of that coming out on Saturday.
You can't keep them all.
You really can't.
And in this case, I mean, let's face it. We've had many of years where it's like, wow, after you get to 50, let's just throw three guys on there for the 53.
And they'll probably be gone after everybody else cuts people anyway.
Yeah.
They'll be on the opposite side of that this year where everybody's poaching their guys.
Right.
So we'll see what happens on Saturday. But that was a good point, you know. When you have excess like that, trading is a very real possibility, though I don't know what position they would trade for at this point.
You get a draft
pick. Future pick, yeah.
You get a conditional late-round pick.
Yep. So keep an eye out for that. Of course, we'll have all of that. Follow Joe on Twitter, at Joe Reedy, on Saturday from you'll probably get up early just grinding out, trying to grind out the advance notice on who's getting cut and who's going where.
Right. But you know, Paul, it's one of those, and you can follow Paul at Paul Daner Jr. on Twitter, where he'll be at the Tub on Saturday.
I will
a
be
sold
at the
out tub, which will be overflowing. Yep. See, Lance, I used your line,
yes.
Unfortunately. But you know, I just we have a song that takes us out each week.
We do,
and you know, in honor of Miley Cyrus's Video Music Awards display on Sunday, and because Billy Ray Cyrus needs a hug, I think we got to go out with a little John Mayer this week. So,
John Mayer.
How about Daughters?
John Mayer, take us out. And somebody, if you see Billy Ray,
give him a hug.
Give him a hug. Tell
and
him
a fifth of Jack Daniels.
And tell him you loved Achy Breaky Heart, and yes. You never made fun of it.
And that all of this isn't his fault. Just
no. He was a good father. He probably wasn't the best father, or else this wouldn't be happening. Specifically, the demon life-size bears, you know. But that's okay. We're sorry. We're sorry, Billy Ray, that you had to endure this. And you know what? You're.
I'm just
guy.
Sorry to any viewer that had to. I mean, Will Smith live there. The photo was on the walkthrough Monday. It takes a lot to appall Will Smith and his children, and even his children couldn't believe what was going on.
They represented the face of America at that point in time. Well, thank you for listening to this latest edition of Scribe Session. Hope you enjoyed it. Like we said, Saturday, follow us on Twitter with all the cuts. Of course, also Thursday for the last home preseason game, 7 o'clock against Indianapolis here at home. And look out, special section will be coming soon. Keep an eye out for that. Of course, keep it locked to the blog, Cincinnati.com. Every single day, we are always there posting stuff, newspaper is still distributed as well, so
yes.
Feel free to read that if you're interested. John Mayer, thank you for joining us and taking us out of here. It's been a pleasure. We will see you next week for the post-cuts Chicago Week edition of Scribe Session. Have a good one.
Good night, everybody.
I know a girl. She puts the color inside of my world. But she's just like a maze, where all of the walls are continually changed. And I've done all I can to stand on the steps with my heart in my hand. Now I'm starting to see, maybe it's got nothing to do with me. Fathers, be good to your daughters. Daughters will love like you do. Girls become lovers who turn into mothers. So mothers, be good to your daughters too. That's skin. It's the same she's been standing in since the day she saw him walking away. Now she's left cleaning up the mess he made. So fathers, be good to your daughters. Daughters will love like you do. Girls become lovers who turn into mothers. So mothers, be good to your daughters too. Boys, you can break. You'll find out how much they can take. Boys will be strong and boys soldier on. But boys won't be gone without one for a woman's good, good heart. Daughters, daughters will love like you do. Girls become lovers who turn into mothers. So mothers, be good to your daughters too. So mothers, be good to your daughters too. So mothers, be good to your daughters too.